Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Amazing breath of life. With all your power and love, you called the world out of chaos and darkness, balancing light and hope and sustaining all creation. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son Jesus, and the Word became flesh, reconciling us to you. Speak to us now, gentle Spirit, for we are listening. Here in this sanctuary of peace, our hearts and our minds long to hear your small, still voice. Amen. Well, I'm not exactly sure why he did it. And you may not recall this event, but do you remember when the illusionist David Blaine was hanging out over London in a box? Do you remember? David Blaine lived in a glass box above the River Thames for 90 days. The box was 7 feet high, 7 feet long, and 3 feet wide. He had one tube that brought him a fresh supply of water, and he stayed in the box. Now, he did other stunts too, like the time he was buried alive in a plexiglass coffin, the time that he encased himself in a block of ice. That seems kind of cold to me. And in case you didn't follow the story, Londoners didn't like the stunt at all. They pelted his glass box with eggs. Hamburgers and French fries. Frankly, I find it kind of one of those odd cultural kinds of moments, and it causes me to ask the question, so what's the point? What's the point? I mean, maybe he wanted to see how much pain he could bear, or maybe he just craved the publicity, I don't know, but I had to ask to kind of figure it out for myself. Why would a man imprison himself in a box and hang himself up in the air? Any ideas? Why isolate yourself from real living? What's really the point? What's the point? Why would a person imprison themselves? Well, I kind of asked that same question of us. Some of the boxes that we put ourselves into. Why do we put ourselves in the box? Why do we imprison ourselves in these places? What's the point? And I'm thinking particularly about the boxes of guilt and the boxes of shame over past mistakes. I can't tell you the number of people that I meet almost daily, either when I introduce myself as a pastor or being a pastor, more often than not, to hear the shame or the guilt. It's amazing, even riding on an airplane, some of the time I don't really want to introduce myself as a pastor to the person sitting next to me because it becomes a confessional. I'm serious. So what do you do for a living? Well, what's the point? Why do we imprison ourselves in the shame and in the guilt? And why do we imprison ourselves with these grudges, these boxes of judgment and disappointment? And why do we direct all that toward ourselves? Or do we direct it towards others as well? What's the point? Thinking about those boxes of revenge and meanness. I'm thinking about those boxes that keep us tied up, tortured within ourselves. And I'm thinking about the boxes of anger and resentment directed at others, sometimes even directed at God. And what's the point? And folks, I'm here to tell you, before you can ever be the person or the church that God wants you to be, you have to forgive. And if you can't or won't, you will never be the person God wants you to be. And you will never be the church God wants you to be. So you have a choice. Stay in the box or get out. Hope you'll get out. In many ways, the writer of Psalm 32 is this person who sounds like he's imprisoned. And he speaks about a time in his life when he was wasting away in silence. And he speaks about a time in his life when there was not this spiritual nourishment, but spiritual anguish in his life. He was really frustrated. He was really feeling like he was boxed in. And he talks about this heaviness and this guilt and this shame and what he sought, what he was praying for. And what he finally experienced was this gift of release that God gave him. And it came through forgiveness. Experiencing forgiveness and offering forgiveness, and he starts pulsing with life when he learns to forgive. Talk about resurrection, folks. That's resurrection. That's life. When you can get to that place, when you can be free from those boxes that you've put yourself into with shame or guilt, and you start living the resurrected life of freedom that God longs to give you. Talk about transformation. This is transformation. He begins the psalm by proclaiming, "Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven." And he punctuates the psalm by saying, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice." Forgiveness is this liberating key to living the fullness of God's life. We talked about happiness and joy and celebration last week. Do you remember? Playfulness. This week we're talking about forgiveness, which is also a key to life. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is the liberating key to life. Folks, write this down. If you want to live in the fullness of God's love for yourself, you've got to forgive yourself and others. In many ways, I think it's more important than love. Because if you can't forgive, you will never understand what it means to be loved or to give love. The day comes when love requires forgiveness, doesn't it? The day's going to come. If you love somebody, do you have to forgive them? This means yes, this means no. I'm looking at you all and you're like, huh? If you love somebody, do you have to forgive them? Comes with it. It's a part of it. You're going to be disappointed. And you're going to disappoint them. You also have to be forgiven. Okay? This means yes, this means no. I'm working on you all. I think you'll get there eventually. I don't want to bore you with a lot of details this morning, but I've been reading a great deal about forgiveness from a study that was taken a few years ago called the Stanford Forgiveness Project. And basically, one of the faculty members at Stanford, Dr. Fred Luskin, did a study on forgiveness. Interesting study. And how forgiveness was tied into happiness and healthy living. And he said, really, you can't have a happy, healthy life if you can't forgive. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. If you're not willing to receive forgiveness and offer forgiveness, you're going to be unhappy and unhealthy. Now, religion's always been interested in this role of forgiveness, but what's being established now for forgiveness is this huge psychological health that's associated with forgiveness. It makes a difference not only psychologically and spiritually, but physically. Remember last week I was talking to you about how we're all connected? You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your body, with all your mind. You see how it works? And why did Jesus say this? Jesus said this because you're one person and one part affects the other part, folks. It all works together. And if you've got an unhealthy mind or an unhealthy body, it's going to have an impact on your psyche and on your soul. It all works together. And it all fits together. If you become a gracious, forgiving person, it's going to offer to you an opportunity to live a happier and healthier life. Folks, it's a part of living. You're going to have to forgive. And if you box yourself in to unforgiveness, you will live a very isolated, unhappy life. It's your choice. But why would you live in the box if you don't have to? One study, Dr. Luskin and his colleagues led a group of 259 people into an exploration of forgiveness, and the core of the training had to do with the following. Forgiveness requires that we learn to take less of a personal offense at things, that we learn to stop blaming others, and that we learn to have more situational compassion for ourselves and other people. Did you hear that? Are you listening to this? Forgiveness requires that we learn to take less of a personal expense from others. Don't take it personally, okay? I have people who criticize my sermons all the time, and I tell them, I don't care. You like it or don't like it, it doesn't bother me. Because I'm a whole lot more than my sermons, aren't I? You got that? I have people telling me, I don't think you're a very good pastor. I don't care. Because guess what? I'm more than a pastor. I'm a friend and a husband and a father. My identity is not tied into one simple thing. Is yours? And if somebody is critical of one level of your life, do you take it personally? Why? You're more than that. And ultimately, you know what I am? I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Can anybody take that away from me? No. I told you about the story. I don't know if I shared this with you. The time I got thrown out of the hospital. Did y'all hear about that? You heard about that? Love that story. Some of you heard it. Some of you, I'll share it again. But basically, got thrown out of the hospital. Friend, you know, was telling a joke. Well, I went to visit a guy who was having surgery, and he was getting ready to have open heart surgery. And so, anyway, his wife was a deacon at the church, and she said, "Oh, I couldn't wait to see you." Said, "I got this joke I want to tell you. I think I've shared this with you before. It's a joke about the drunk guy. You know, he's following too close. The minister saw this drunk guy driving, and he was following close behind the drunk guy. Remember?" And he got behind him, and the drunk guy was swerving and everything. And the minister was watching the drunk guy so closely. He ran off the road and hit a tree. And the drunk guy got out, and he walked back to the minister's car, and he said, "Are you all right?" And the minister said, "I'm fine. I got the Lord riding with me." And he said, "Well, you better let him ride with me. You're going to kill him." Okay, well, I was dying laughing outside of the hospital room, you know, with the wife. And the nurse came out and she said, "What's all this racket going on in the hospital? There's far too much laughter taking place." And so, and she said, "He's our pastor." And the nurse said, "Well, sir, you're making too much noise, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave." I said, "You want me to leave?" She said, "Yes." I said, where do you want me to go?" But she said, that was probably not the best question to ask. But she said, "Well, I want you to go outside and sit out front." And I said, "With the smokers?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh, okay. See you later. I'll be with the smokers." And as I was walking out of the hospital, as I walked away, I turned around, I said, "You know what? You can make me leave the hospital, but you can't take away my joy." Because that's in here, folks. Don't let somebody take away your joy. Don't let somebody take away your life. Don't let somebody take away all the wonderful gifts that God has given to you. You are a child of God. Got it? How do we let people take away? Well, do you think I held a grudge against the nurse? You know what I did? I went outside and had a great time with the smokers. So anyway, you know, because the first thing I had was a great joke to tell. And I had this incredible story. I got thrown out of the hospital for laughing. She ended up coming out eventually. I don't know if I told you this part or not. She had a big coat, and she opened her coat up. She said, "Get in, I'm going to sneak you back into the hospital." She wrapped her big coat around me, and we went back in. Oh, my. The Forgiveness Project. You want life? You want love? You want the goodness of life? How do you get that? Well, you get that by forgiving, not holding grudges, not letting other people and their criticism box you in some way. Folks, let it go. Let it go. One of the things that I've thought about doing, a friend of mine, I went into his office, and he's a pastor as well, and I walked into his office, and he has a big sign above his office, above his desk. You know what it says? It's right above his desk. He's got two chairs sitting in front of his desk. He sits behind his desk, and then he's got a big sign above his desk. You know what it says? You'll love this. I did. It says, "Get over it." That's what they're looking at. They're talking to the pastor, and they're seeing this sign. It says, "Get over it." I said, "Why do you have that?" He said, "Because that's what I want to say. And since I can't actually say it, I put up a big sign. Get over it." Why do we let these things completely control us? It steals your joy, folks. It steals your living. Why? You don't have to stay in that box. Get out. Forgive. Let go of the grudges. Identify yourself in bigger ways. Be the person God wants you to be. After 6 weeks of forgiveness training, every single person in the group showed significant reductions in anger, and they also showed significant reductions in physical stress. They became healthier. Wow. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven. In another group consisting of an equal number, Protestants, Catholics, all from Northern Ireland, who had someone in their family who'd been killed in the evil strife going on there, they all showed up less hurt, less anger, less stress, less depression. After 6 weeks of exploring forgiveness. In other words, forgiveness is essential to your health. Happy are those whose transgressions is forgiven. In another study, brought together people who worked in financial services. Who works in financial services? We got bankers, yeah, got the folks in there. Man, stockbrokers, anybody like that does that kind of stuff? No. That's a challenge. It's a challenging business. He led them through 6 weeks on forgiveness training, and all of them, compared to the control group, all of them demonstrated a higher degree of happiness and overall increase in personal wellness. Here's the interesting part. Those in the group who were sales, anybody in sales? Yeah. They increased their productivity by 18%. Wow. Now that's remarkable. It demonstrates that forgiveness, it's not some add-on to life. It's like choosing an option on a new car. It's the essential energy and it's the motors of our living. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven. So how do you experience forgiveness? Well, it's more than just one thing. It's kind of a mosaic, really, that you kind of piece together. And a piece of the mosaic, I think, the most important part is the forgiveness of God. In spite of everything that's said about God's love, God's grace, God's goodness, I still think a lot of people walk around with God's judgment. You think that too? Again, again, again in the life of Jesus, we see him picking up the fallen, lifting up the brokenhearted, and even in the face of his own crucifixion, Jesus says what? Father, forgive them. Yeah. Can you imagine that? So forgiveness was that important. That important? One of the last things Jesus does in his human life is to forgive. It's that important. It's that important. It's that important, folks. Yeah. That Jesus could do this. More importantly, it's the revelation and nature of God. God forgives every mistake. People, God has and will and continues to forgive. And if you carry around this sense of judgment about something that you did and have asked forgiveness for from God, think about it. God forgives. So why are you holding on? Why are you putting it yourself in this box when God is saying, you don't have to be in the box. You're forgiven. You're loved, cherished, forgiven. And God's got a wonderful plan for you in the future. Can you accept this, folks? Please? That's a starting point. Here's another piece of the mosaic I want to mention this morning. Forgiving somebody is not the same as condoning or reconciling with someone. You may have a business partner who's done something wrong to you, and you've separated ways, and you can forgive that person without going back to business with them. Or you may have had a spouse that's done something hurtful to you. You can forgive that person without becoming their spouse again. Okay? You can forgive a friend who's done something wrong to you and hurt your feelings, causing you to withdraw. You can forgive somebody that without that person becoming your best friend over again, okay? Forgiveness is about liberating yourself from your anger and your resentment and your hatred. It's about freeing yourself. It's about setting yourself free from the past. Now, sometimes forgiveness actually does pave the way for reconciliation, the reestablishment of a relationship, and that can happen. That's wonderful if it does. But primarily, forgiveness is a spiritual state of mind. Sometimes we have to say to ourselves, I'm no longer willing to be imprisoned by my own anger and my own hurt and my own bitterness, and I'm going to set myself free from all of that. Another piece of the mosaic, forgiveness enables us to begin to tell our stories differently. Let's face it, we live in boxes because we lack the imagination to do anything else. I do it, you do it, I know. I'd suggest that all of us could tell the story of our childhood in tones of resentment over what happened in our families. This happened or that happened, my mother did this, my father did that. That's not the way to tell our story. Sometimes we learn to tell a story in a different way. Sometimes we have to discover a more intelligent way of framing our lives. It's called reframing, okay? You reframe it. Yeah, my father was this way or my mother was that way, but in spite of it all, what I did receive from them was this, right? You reframe it. I got some good things. Okay? And that's what I'm trying to rediscover. Forgiveness helps us to tell a different story. Think about it like this. Instead of berating ourselves over past mistakes or something we've done, allowing a failure to define us, why not tell it a different way? You know what? In my life, I've made some mistakes. Anybody made mistakes here? Yeah? A few of you? I think, yeah, okay. In my life, I've made some mistakes. Okay. Am I going to allow those mistakes to define who I am? No. Is that what God would want? I'm growing and I'm changing, and I'm becoming more fully the person God wants me to be. I've had some relationships that faltered, but I still believe in love. I dropped out of school, but maybe I'm ready to go back or try something new and different. Maybe I'm more ready now. Because of the earlier struggles, now I have a new look on life. And forgiveness towards others, forgiveness toward ourselves helps us to tell a different story. One more piece of forgiveness mosaic is really, and this I learned also from the Stanford Project, said that no one, and I say this because I think one reason why we withhold our forgiveness from others, including, by the way, people in our families, is that deep down inside, we believe we are just slightly superior. Maybe a little bit better or slightly above somebody else. Let me tell you where you really discover the truth of this. Some of you know this firsthand. If you've ever spent any time in a small group, what you learn is that nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody's better. when you're hanging out with others, you're all on the same plane. In a small group, you see people from all walks of life, socioeconomic backgrounds, all kinds of educational backgrounds. The truth is, nobody's more important than anybody else. And this is why I believe some people don't like small groups. I think they kind of want to see themselves as being more important than somebody else. But you're not. We're all on the same plane. We're all loved by God. We all have hurts and pains and sorrows and difficulties and challenges. We all have the basic kinds of struggles in life, all of us. All of us. And you're no better, and you're no worse. Am I right? This means yes, this means no. Gosh, you guys are really struggling with this today. You see, forgiving others doesn't come from a place of superiority. Doesn't mean you're enlightened more, you're spiritual more, you're Christian more, and you have this power and you can then forgive somebody. No, it comes from a place of humility. I'll forgive because I know firsthand what it means to be forgiven. You ever been forgiven? You have, haven't you? Forgiveness is humility. Humbling yourself. Just like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. How about you? So I don't know why David Blaine sat in that glass box. Like a caged animal. But he did. But I don't get the point. Why would you stay in a box? What's the point? In the end, there's only one thing that liberates us, and that's the forgiveness of God. And God gives it to us. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Why not pass it on? Let's pray. Oh, God of grace and mercy, love, God, you have shown your love to us. We weren't deserving, God, but you gave it to us anyway. You came down here and you dwelt among us, and in all humility you humbled yourself. And then you forgave us. Help us, God, to be in a place where we can receive that forgiveness and offer it freely to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.